Yes, Binghamton, we have Winston Grinnan on the line, and we had to interrupt that tape, and we got a live interview. So let me just set up here. Hold tight. Yes, greetings.
Hello.
Yes, my brother.
Yes, my brother, how you doing, sir?
Okay, my brother, I'm trying to get this sound down. Okay, we got it. Can you speak a little bit?
Hello, this is Binghamton, New York.
Yes.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
You're doing good, Winston. Hold tight.
All right.
Hello? Yes.
Okay. I just hear you.
Okay, you hear me now. We're on the air now.
We're on the air.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, Winston, I had played enough stuff of your music from 1960s and melodeons and techniques and Toots and the Maytals.
Right.
From 2 o'clock, we were listening, brother.
So you was playing, me all day then?
Yeah, well, I was on. Well, you're not going to believe this, brother. But I was on since 10 o'clock. This morning.
From 10 this morning?
Yes, sir.
Just playing me all day?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's great. We have to let the world know.
Well, no, I wasn't playing you all day, brother.
I
was playing, it was a gospel show, so.
Gospel, okay.
Well, no, listen. The lady that does the gospel had me, she was sick today.
Oh, okay.
So I came in and sat in for her, but I brought my music. And
I see.
And I have enough music.
So. Yes.
From I've been letting people know about you all day, though.
They've
been listening and knowing that you were gonna call. I said 3 o'clock, and man, you didn't disappoint me. It's just 15 minutes, and that's cool. Soon come, I said soon come. He'll be calling.
Well, no, here am I then.
Yes, sir.
Well, I should say good afternoon to Burlington, Binghamton, New York, and to WHRW. That's it?
Yes, sir.
And Brother Ross Charles.
Yes, sir.
Good evening.
Good afternoon,
brother. Good afternoon.
Okay, now let me ask you, a question that most people probably have asked you. How long have you been doing this thing? From when, from what time did you first, percussion, my brother, when?
From when I first started? Well, ever since I was a little kid. Now, actually, my whole family is musicians. All my uncles are musicians, so they used to play around with Val Bennett, if you can remember those names.
Oh, yes.
And then we used to go around and watch them carefully, and I always sit under the piano and watch. So I went back home, and I used pans and set up my drums and started practice like that in the backyard. And my mom used to go crazy because lots of people used to come in the yard, and she didn't like that. So every time I set up, she throw them out. I go back, find new ones, set up. She did the same thing. Then I eventually made me a drum set. I spent a whole month and cut down a tree and dig it out and build me a drum set. And that's when I started following my uncle around and, trying to understand. And I watched the drummers when the drum set that they have. I tried to build everything the same way with the pedals and stuff. And then I used, in them time they got the sardine cans.
Right.
We used that and make the cymbals.
Now, what year was this?
This was in the 50s when I was a little kid.
50.
Yes, and then I, grew up like that, going to school. And then going to school, we really didn't have drums in the school. We have like pianos. So basically I started fooling around with piano, and at the same time I know I want to play drums, and still going around watching my uncle, them doing it, and still learning, watching them writing things down on board, and that was really notes.
They were into jazz, right?
They were into jazz, lots of jazz, yes.
Can I ask you this, Winston? The fact that you can read music and other artists, say drummers specifically, can't read, do you think, because I look at that as the same as, like, say, Frederick Douglass being able to read music, and when he learned to read, he suffered. Because when he did, you know what I'm trying to say, brother?
Yeah.
You get enough static because you know the music, and people don't give you the respect. And here's a brother that work hard, because you must have to work hard. Once you know that music, you work hard, man.
But you know what? What is the problem is that the problem is from the promoters from the beginning. The first guy who found out where we could get a tape recorder and take into a little room and then bring in the guys in from the street to sing. Everybody glad to do that. So Dad Coxon was one of the guys who went to Miami and get one of the first little box machine, reel-to-reel, set it up and start like that. Then everybody start in. So I say, so Dad Coxon is like the godfather of this thing. You know, but what happened, lots of guys running and do it as young kids, not thinking about the rights, don't know where the rights is. So what these guys do, they actually, they go to England and they sell all the music to England. That's why I see Europe know about reggae a lot more than America. Because all the music go transferred from Jamaica to England.
And Canada.
And so that's how it keeps circling. So that's what happened. And then all the credits disappear from records because I think the producer think if they put the names on, then they have to pay your royalties. Right.
And I got from this guy, Ernie E., out in California, a list of all the stuff that Larry McDonald was on. It blew Larry away when I sent him the sheet. Now they're starting to list the credits to the artists that were on those sessions.
Right.
It blew Larry away when he saw all that stuff in Treasure Isle, Duke Reed stuff, what's his name, Derek Harriott stuff.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing, man. And I bet you have enough music that you don't even know that you're on.
Let me tell you, I want to tell you on the Bennington what happened. I first started singing when I really decided to do this thing seriously. And I started singing for Duke Reed and Coxon and a couple other guys who were around with sound systems. And then I used to sing with a girl, and eventually the girl had to go away to England, so that just leave me alone. So I start singing when Jimmy Clifton just started singing. I started singing long before Bob Marley and Toots even started singing the first line. That's from how long I started singing, but no one knows about that. Because I used to sing under the name of Winston Richards. So most people didn't know, see. And then after a while, I went away and go box. I was also a boxer. So when I came back now, I came back and started with Bim and Bam and John Rasai. If everybody remember that name, Bim and Bam. Right, and that's why I started jiggling around and we started playing the show. And then now, the other day, my manager was searching around the internet, found those songs that I did from the early 60s, man, and record labels still selling in England. And I thought those songs wasn't good anymore. And nobody, well, actually they put Winston Richard beside it and say, huh. See, so a lot of them, they don't really know where I'm at now. See, they think probably, I think they're saying my oh, he's dead now. So, well, we can do what we feel like doing. So that's the way I think about it. But what I'm trying to say, quick and short, is this. I would like everyone of the producers and promoters all around the world who are involved in reggae music to consider the older folks who started it first. Send out people to research carefully and make sure that you find, if any still alive, who can play. And give them some kind of a medal and let them feel good like they're worthwhile of the ones who really create the road for all these other young kids to come on and now making money and enjoying themselves. Because they dissed the old players a lot. The One Drop reggae beat was created by Winston Grennan. The One Drop reggae beat. And I will actually show Carlton Barrett some of those licks, because when I'm playing in Jamaica, all those guys like to come around, follow me around and see what I'm doing. I also show Sly Dunbar the stepping beat that he played, that he come with, and everybody say, oh, well, Sly come with a great beat. That was a lot of things I was doing in Jamaica that lots of people did not know about. And I teach these kids it, because they all follow me around. The same thing with Robbie Shakespeare. I give him the first bass he played and teach him, show him and tell him the notes. And a guitar player by the name of Ron Bob Williams. We are the guys behind all these people. And I was very happy to know that these guys, they finally came out pretty good. But what I'm saying, when these younger kids...
Do they give you credit?
No, I don't get no credit. That's what I'm trying to say. That's why a lot of people... That's why the world don't know about Winston Grennan. They know about Sly Dunbar and Robbie Shakespeare, Carlton Barrett, Funnelman Barrett, but they don't know and realize that Winston Grennan was one of the guys who was there sitting with those guys and teaching a lot of them things that they know are playing on records and playing it good.
So what is this thing about you being in the studio and the guys coming to the studio? What's this? Is this kind jealousy thing too? Because them guys could not read, and I mean, and stealing your licks, and I mean that thing must have gone heavy down there.
They all do that, man. Then everybody, they claim the credit. They all do that, try to claim the credit. But like I say, until they take in back all the books that they write, wrote, whatever, and put things in there and people reading it and believing, I think they have to correct those. Because a lot of them is wrong. So I've never been told yet. The Guinness Book of Records not having all these things, some of it is correct, but the next half is not correct. Until they can reduce back those things, then I will really have the confidence. And then a lot of people will finally know a lot about Winston Grennan. And not just Winston Grennan, they have to know about Jackie Jackson, they have to know about Ox Brown, they have to know about Gladstone Anderson, they have to know about Winston Wright, they have to know about Jackie Metoo, they have to know about Ronnie Bapp, they have to know about Lynn Tate, they have to know about lots of the people who was there before. They must know about John Bago, they have to know about Light Nibs, they have to know about Lama Donald, they have to know about all the guys who really were there before all these other people.
Well, Harrison, you know, I think you're so correct, you know, and this is what I try to tell the young people in the listening audience, that, okay, what Bob Marley really did for reggae music was that he was the first artist. Jamaican music was basically a singles music. He was the first artist on the album. And that made it go international, to give it some sort of life. But still, the people that produced, made this music, still did not benefit from it. They were robbed by the people that came in there and took advantage of it. You know this.
Well, the reason for all of this is because at the time there were no copyrights in Jamaica. So anybody could walk in and just take your things. And that's exactly what they did. So now that copyright, like, coming when in the 80s, so... 93 now, just 93 now, you see. Now you check how many years everybody been getting robbed. Now 93 copyright coming now. So what happened to all those music before that started the whole game? Because the game started from ska, then goes to rock steady, then high come and change the rhythm, slow it down to one drop reggae, which no one can dispute, no matter how much they say or what they write in books and magazines. They cannot dispute that, because I have lots of people to shut them up, because they did not talk to the right people to know who created these things from who to who to who. But I can tell you who started what. I can name you every drummer who started from where to where, and I can tell you where every drummer fits in. I can tell you where every organist fits in and where every guitarist fits in. I can tell them all, and what I'm telling you is the living facts. But no one else can compare like that, but only the guys them who in the circle can say it like I'm saying it. Like Gladdy can say so.
And I hear you, and you're saying it with strength and with vigor, because it has to be a fact the way you're saying it.
But no one can...
You've been denied this, and you, along with a lot of other artists, have been denied this, and I feel it too, brother. I feel it's anger there too.
You know why too? You know why too? Sometimes when I go around and I have a band and I can't play out. Because when I really go to a place to play, and I need a job, if a guy's supposed to give me $3,000 to play, you're going to hear, well, I only can give you $100. No, you can look at a big artist like me who created this thing, helped create it. A lot of us created it, but I have a big part in it too. Are you going to tell me you won't give me $100 when I earn $3,000? So I don't play.
Yes, what can you tell the aspiring young artist that's trying to perform, that want to perform and get involved in the music? What would you say to them?
What I want to tell them now is, first, if you want to be a businessman or a musician, those things are separate. If you want to play music, you have to first understand the theory of what you're going to play. So if you go to Zion and someone say, I wanted to play, you can go there and fit in and play comfortably and make money. The ones in that cannot do that will always be on the suffering end. So to really play and to earn your respect, you have to pay attention to what you really want to do, which is playing music. So first you have to learn to understand, how am I going to approach the instrument I want to play? Do I want to play drums? Do I want to play guitar? We first have to know the instrument, have to know the scale, have to understand how it goes. That's what it is. If you don't know that, you'll be just a fool to what you're doing and making nonsense of yourself. And I'm telling all the kids, you don't want to do that. The electric machine that's coming now, that makes things a lot easier for a lot of people to say they are musicians. But it's not right, because down the road, they are going to find out that it's going to be very stagnant, because when you go someplace and can't play something, they say, wow, but I could play it the other day, but I can't play it now. Why? Because all they do, interestingly now, is to go press a button, and you beep, 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 and you got a music right there. So these are the things that the young kids have to watch for. Don't let the machine drag them into that. Try to be acoustic. Try to understand what acoustic is about. Then you can use a machine and dress it up. Or if you understand the acoustic, you will be able to understand the machine even better. But don't let the machine rule you, because if the machine rule you, you're going to be in trouble. That's right. So always going to college up there, or whatever you're going, whatever course you're taking, make sure you know what you want. Don't try to play more than one instrument at a time, because if you don't understand the scale and the tier in them, you're going to get confused. So you take them at a time. When you understand it, you move on. You know what I mean?
Now, what are you doing as far as anything new in the works?
Yes, I got a lot of things new coming, but I stay quiet. I have a new album to be released in February. And I also have two songs into a movie called Sleepyhead. And one of the songs is also on the album Across the Border. That was like the last one I cut before this one. So now there's also the movie 9.5 Weeks. Also have a single, an EP, which is also in the movie. So anyone want to hear that, they have to buy them, check the movie, and they will hear the song. We're going to also release that song too, because we didn't release it on their soundtrack, because I was going to release it, so I didn't let them use it that way. So it's only in the movie. And also, of course, Jimmy Cliff, The Harder They Come.
Now, what part did you play in that movie?
What part did I play in it?
Yes.
I played drums, wherever you've seen the drums playing.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But then now the camera guy now, instead of putting the camera on me when I was doing my thing, he shaded the camera in another way. I think because they told us it was just a little move, they're making a little movie for Jimmy to watch, when there was in reality was making a movie.
Oh, wow.
You know? And then now everything come out, and until this day, a lot of the guys, you know, get no money, but I am right now getting ready now to start to look into it, because I think they owe us a lot of money now, and I'm going to make sure all the fellas who play in the session get money, because that was a wrong thing to do. So basically I have a lot of things going on, you know, and I'm getting ready now to do a project with Paul Simon and Peter Harrow from Peter Paul and Mary, and Garland Jeffries, and maybe Bonnie Raitt, some big names. I'm working on new things. I'm trying to invent them, because the album that's coming out is not roots reggae. So if anybody gonna listen for roots, I am trying to change the groove again, just like how I did drop the one drop reggae. Now I'm in swagway now.
Swagway. I'm looking at this. It says, what do the Stones, Simon and Garfunkel, Bob Marley, and have in common? They all played with Winston Grinnell.
That's right. Right. Eric Gale, you ever hear Eric Gale?
Oh, Eric Gale?
Yeah.
Definitely, you know that album, The Grill, man. That classic album, The Grill. You know that album, man?
Yes.
Yeah, man. But, you know, and I want another thing just before you go. I want you to let the listening audience know the jazz, because I always ask the people, the callers, the artists, let people know the jazz influence reggae.
Oh yeah, that's what Catalyze started. It's jazz influence. Sky's really jazz, you know. But a lot of people don't really know, because the way it's moving, you have to really listen into it carefully to understand. So if you're a good musician who know your theory, you could figure out, well, it's jazz. But that's what it is. Roland and Tommy and them guys doing some nice, neat solo, while Nibs is dropping some serious backdrops for the dress up. You know, so it's really jazz. So, and from there it influenced down to, you know, but from beyond it was like from blues, and it's influenced blues and rock and roll. Everything influenced, is a whole lot of influence into reggae. It's like, so that's why I know I changed my thing, and I'm calling it Swagway. Because I play with all the great people around the world. I think now I have enough experience that I can make some groove, not just to lay, well, okay, well, I'm reggae, okay. I want to experiment. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm experimenting with lots of the great people that I play with, bringing in some big names, deep land my record, and let the who I work with, who are big names, and try to do something. I love the reggae, but I don't want to just rest in the reggae vein, because from when I came to America, my brain spread out wider. So I have a lot more experience around everything that's going on. See, right now, if I go back to Jamaica, that's what they would have to accept now, because I'd go back there with a different groove again. Because there's no way I would fall back into that real slow, sleepy groove again. You know, I couldn't do it. My brain, it's too widely expanded over that. So I use everything in one and create a good rhythm, and I call it swag way. So that also is reggae second cousin. So that's what the world going to be hearing from Winston Grennan, with Winston Grennan's Scarrock's band.
You know, I want to thank you, Nancy Stewart, for doing enough good work for you.
Oh yeah, she's doing very, very good. I mean, she has the experience. She knows what to do, so I just leave everything in her hands. You know, all I have to do is present the good quality music. And once I can do that, that's all right. But at the same time, I also trying to help other young artists too, you know. I'm still looking for young talent, and if I see who's good, I still try to produce them, you know. So I'm into a lot of producing, and I also try to produce a little rap artist named Tony Culture, which he will also, he's on my album, which is coming out, so people will hear him. I'm working with him and a few other ones in Baltimore and upstate New York. So, you know, there's a lot of things I'm doing, but I like to play in Binghamton?
Binghamton.
Well, what is the biggest joint you have in Binghamton? Because I'd like to come and put 5 million people in it.
Well, they got a couple of places. I mean, it used to be a venue called the Art Theater that had reggae, but there's a new club opening called Interlude, and there's a couple of places. But we got to check it, because I wouldn't want to have you in those dives. I don't think you deserve to be in those dives.
Put me into a college campus.
Yes, sir, the campus.
Well, that's on you, man, so I leave that up to you, because if these people really want to see...
Well, Nancy and I, we'll talk about it, because, you know, we can get in touch with the proper people that we're supposed to get in touch with here. And
yeah.
Nancy can talk to you about that.
Yes, because that's what I want to do, because when I do this kind of interview, I want people to come and see the facts.
Yes, sir.
So they can really see the person and understand, say, oh, that was him, because I'm sure they listen to me every day, but they don't know. The vinyl crack?
Oh my God, I pulled it out this morning and I said, oh man, I can't even play it. And I used to see this in the store when I lived downstate, man. I used to see this and I never bought it.
How did that happen? You
got to send me another
one. Okay, we're going to try to send another one. But tell them that, you know, the following week they will hear it, what it is.
Yeah.
But that's the same one that's in the movie now.
Ah.
That's the movie song, the 9.5 weeks I'm telling you about. So... we're going to send another copy, but at the same time, you know, if they see the movie, that's what they will be hearing.
Oh, man, you know what I'm doing? Another back to Swagway. 1988 Swagway.
Yes.
All right, my brother, you got it, man.
Yeah, man.
Hey, listen, this has been a pleasure, Winston.
Yes, sir.
And I want you to hail Nancy up, and I think my listeners have really been enlightened, man. You got enough to say, brother. I tell you, I can let you talk to them for the rest of the hour, man. You have enough enlightenment for these people out here.
Well, trust me, man. When they hear Winston Grennan or Jackie Jackson or Ox Brown or Winston Wright or any one of those guys talk, you are listening to the reality. You're not listening to any bulls. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's just the true talk and the reality. Because these were the guys who were like the stepping stone for all these groove, for everybody in Jamaica, any producer you can think about, from Mr. Dad, Harry J, the Miss P, JJ, GG, you name it, Prince Buster, Beverly Kong, everybody got to pass through that group, and that's the guys them who cut all these tracks. But nobody know, because no one put your name there. So now they are finding out. So from here on, that's what it is. And we'll be writing a book too to explain more, because I have too much to say.
You gotta let us know, brother. And listen, I'm gonna live a case something for you. you, I'm going to put something on for you, and we're going to go out, and I'm going to put you on hold, and I'm going to talk to you off the air.
Which one are you going to put on now? Tell me.
No, brother. This is not you. I don't have any of yours right here.
So you don't have Slim Smith?
Oh, man, you know what? That's the one that I did leave. I'll bring that next week.
Oh, well, explain to them about the piano part. That's me, too.
Did you meet, man, Sensation?
Yes.
One of the best.
How come you leave that record, man? What's that? And you know you're going to talk to me today.
Oh, man. Don't tell me. But you know what I got here? You know what? I figured this fit into something that you would like. I got Ernest Ranglin.
Oh, Ernest Ranglin. Okay, beautiful. Yes.
I knew that, brother.
Yes.
Knew you would like this.
Yes.
This is from his album, Below the Baseline. You hear the new album?
Yes, yes.
Oh, I know you like it.
Wicked.
I'm going to put something on here for you, man.
Okay.
Let me see what's up. We got Surfing, King Tubby Meets Rockers, Dr. Mapagana. We're going to put something on here. And I know what I'm going to put on it. Black Disciples. One, two, three.
Oh, yeah. Black Disciples is good. Okay.
Come on.
Right here.
Okay. All right. We got it. And I'm gonna put you on hold, my brother.
Okay.
All right.
You sound like you're not a little kid, man.